The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Mr. Brockler is not here. He's playing soldier. I am convinced he loves it. I've known George for a long time. I don't care. He's not only getting a government pension, he loves extra starched shirts. He's that guy. All right, so right now I'm in this ripped up old shirt that my daughter can't stand, which makes me love it even more. I'm Oscar Madison. He is Felix Unger. I mean, every shirt is starched. There's not a wrinkle. I can't imagine. Anyway, he'll be back next week. Until then, you've got me. I'm John Caldera. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. Let me talk a little bit about cancel culture. Pete and I were chatting about that. Well, cancel culture is dangerous when it happens via government, renaming commissions and curriculum and all the rest. But what happens when it happens via private industry, other platforms? So the Federal Communications Commission keeps an eye on KNUS because KNUS is using the public airwaves. But Facebook, they're a private company. Twitter, they're a private company. They squelch speech. I'll give you examples of it when we talk about it. And part of me wonders, well, should we have laws that say you can't do that? How do we prove it? There's a First Amendment right, but First Amendment really has to do with government, not a private company. Maybe what we ought to do is build an alternative to Facebook, an alternative to Nextdoor. And this was always brewing in my mind. And then a buddy of mine, Matt Knoedler, decided to turn it into reality without telling me. And then one day said, hey, look what we're doing. Matt joins us now. Matt, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Howdy, sir. How you doing? And I got to tell you, the last time I was on KNUS was with Brockler on one of his Saturday shows, and he clearly had just been jogging. Like, he was like in total gym. So it is a brand. Don't believe it. He's pulling one over on all of us. He looked like he could paint. He actually looked like he could have been there just to paint the room.
Really?
So don't believe that one. Yeah.
Oh, because every time I see him, he's got a necktie on. I mean, and by the way, I don't trust anybody who wears a necktie religiously. Neckties should be worn at weddings, funerals, and other equally depressing events.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, now that I'm out of the suit world and into the tech world, it's amazingly comfortable. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. And you wonder why if there was any one plus about COVID, hopefully it's the death of the necktie.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I fully agree. I don't remember why I put one on recently. I felt like someone was trying to strangle me, and I wore one for 20 years, you know, in politics and lobbying kind of work, and then haven't had one on for, you know, 20 months or more now.
Does your wife love it when you wear a suit? Because I've noticed women really like guys in suits. I have no idea why.
I don't know about that. I maybe it's been
Let's
so long.
Let's go someplace where we get dressed up. Where we need to go someplace. Yeah. Let's go out to this dinner and you know, we'll wear something nice. Like, yeah. I never want to wear anything nice.
Yeah, no, I don't know. At some point we'll have to go back out into the world and socialize and stuff. And I'm pretty introverted, so I'm not sure about that. But anyway,
actually, I've never found you to be introverted.
No, that's my great secret. I'd rather you know, I'm happy. I love, I do enjoy only talking to you, John. Everybody else okay. just makes me nervous. There you go. Yeah.
All right. So let's get back
just,
to this.
It's just
this,
you and me, right? There's nobody
it
else.
It is just you and me. It's just you and me on a phone
okay,
call.
Okay, great.
So, talk to me before we talk about caucusroom.com, which everyone should go to and sign up for, and it's free. But before we get into why Caucus Room is a potential great answer to the censorship of Facebook and Nextdoor and Twitter, is there really censorship on these platforms?
There is. And, you know, first of all, let's step back and talk about, you know, how these networks evolved, right? So, you know, Mark Zuckerberg has this idea to, you know, start just getting college kids to chat with each other, right, in some kind of an exclusive format, and he comes up with Facebook. But when a political, you know, as Facebook grows, people see the opportunity to talk with each other about all kinds of things, right? And so you're sort of mixed between the rules that govern the way people interact on a particular site. You know, in other words, with Facebook, you have to be sort of invited by a friend to follow what they're saying, or, right. or vice versa. You can ask them if you can follow, you know, that kind of thing. With Twitter, you can just choose to follow somebody without their permission. But the point is they set up this environment where, you know, the people you're talking with are often you at the beginning, people that you know, right. Certainly on Facebook. So, okay. So then you know, fast forward, it doesn't take long for those of us in the political world to discover that, boy, this is a great tool to get a message out quickly. Right. We can, you know, I mean, obviously Independence Institute, has, you know, puts out a great, you know, thought piece on, you know, tax policy or something like that. And now it can distribute it immediately, not just via email, but in a more interactive way on a social network. And that's, that should be awesome. But you're also sort of constrained by the audiences that you're working with in those early days, right? So you're only, you know, a friend can talk to a friend. Well, as it turns out, particularly as media becomes less trustful, as they start to pick sides and you know, continue to kind of double down on picking their sides, people are more likely to trust, you know, a friend or a family member who shares right. something online than they are to share, you know, to trust just, you know, what they read on the news. And so not only does political messaging become more frequent on social networks, but it actually becomes more impactful than mainstream media news. So you've got, first of all, you've got mainstream media losing out on eyeballs to this discussion online. But, and the discussion online is very, very powerful. And at some point, obviously, there are human beings behind these platforms who discover that people are using their platforms for things they had not considered yet and things that they don't agree with. And so they, you know, they have tried since then to sort of put the toothpaste back in the tube and only let you talk about the things that they think are permissible in their view for you to discuss. And so they can limit your audience. They can limit the things that you say. They can do it without telling you that they're doing it. You know, obviously YouTube is best known for, you know, kind of downscoring, you know, the visibility of conservative videos like from PragerU and other, you know, conservative advocacy groups without, you know, without even telling them search results, things like that. So, you know, so there's a few options on our end, but I'll just pause there and just kind of say, so that's how it evolved. It really does happen. And it's actually a lot less technically sophisticated than people think. It's a lot of like Facebook recently, you know, back in 2020 when there was all the, at the beginning of this year, 2021, when there was all the controversy about Parler and, you know, all that business, there was, Facebook said that they had something like 50,000 human beings who were content moderators. So those are real people who have real opinions, and they may see something, you know, outrageous said that they agree with, and so they don't think it's outrageous, but then they see something that is maybe completely on the other political side of the political spectrum from something they would agree with, and they find that totally outrageous, even though, you know, maybe a lot of other people would say it's a mainstream concept. So who knows? But those are human beings making those decisions, not just algorithms.
I'll give you a couple of personal examples.
Sure.
So the Independence Institute runs several different projects. One of them is our FASTER project, which helps train teachers and school staff members how to stop a shooter. That is, so they teach these people how to shoot back and also how to stop the bleeding. It's an incredible program. And to fundraise for it, we often raffle off a gun package. And I'll mention that in a newsletter or in a Facebook post. It will get pulled. Now, the idea that you have a raffle or a gun issue and they've decided, no, that's information we won't let happen. We won't let you talk about your gun raffle. Well, that's censorship. Another fine example for us personally, the Independence Institute, we promote CompleteColorado.com. If you don't go there every day, you're missing out on one of the best news services in Colorado. We aggregate stories from around the state. There's no paywall. And we also put in original content, news and views, investigative reporters, columns like mine and Mike Rosen's and others. And our readership numbers continue to grow and grow and grow over the years at just a wonderful clip. It was just amazing. And then at the beginning of 2021, our numbers plummeted like a stone. And I called some of my friends in other states who run other news services kind of like that, and they had the exact same issue, that when we would put out one of our stories and link it on Facebook, it just wasn't going anywhere. Someone played with the algorithm to make sure that our ideas, our speech, didn't go to people who might be interested in it. And it was so clear that how it happened and what it was, nothing else could change it. And we're sitting there going, we're at the mercy of politically correct tech progressives in Silicon Valley on whether or not people can see what we're working on. And it's a remarkably disempowering feeling to know that some guy with a hair bun having his Frappuccino has decided people shouldn't see that, and now we're silenced in the way that most people communicate today. It's real.
No, it is. So, I mean, my take right now is that I think we need to be mindful of the rules and the tools that are in place today, and use them for only what they're built for. And if there's one missing, we're going to have to build it ourselves. And so what I mean by that is, I don't believe that, although I appreciate the comparisons to Facebook, we do have a lot of, but particularly like a Facebook group concept, is something that I think we really are trying to build a good alternative to on Caucus Room. What I mean is the audiences, right? So Facebook only wants you to communicate certain kinds of messages to the people who are on their platform while you're on their platform. And so we need to be mindful of the fact that those are their rules. And if there are conversations we want to have that can't occur on Facebook, then we need to find a better place for that.
And along comes the marketplace and Matt Knoedler, who's decided, Kneedler, I'm sorry. I want to call you Knoedler. And the reason I want to call you Knoedler, well, the reason
totally
is
fine.
That when I use Siri to make a phone call to you, because you've got that ridiculous K in front of your name, I have to say, call Matt Knoedler. Otherwise, she doesn't find your number.
That's quite all right.
And so now, you know, in the back of my mind, you've become that. You've become that. So
big tech changing who I am, literally. That's right.
All right, so you threw away a pretty well-established career in politics to jump into the tech world to fill the need that you just saw, which was we need to build something that is safe for people like you and me, conservatives and libertarians, who want to talk with each other and find each other and say what we want to say. And thus, caucusroom.com was born. What's the best definition of caucus room?
Yeah, caucus room is a online community where conservatives can gather and encourage and organize online. And, you know, we hold virtual meetings. In fact, actually this weekend, I think we're hosting a lot of organizational meetings for the Jefferson County Republican Party here in Colorado as an example. So those are actual, like, official assemblies, you know, where they elect their chair of their, you know, each house district in the county party, et cetera. So all of the redrawn districts will need new leadership on the Republican side. And so this is the beginning of that process. And so we're literally a place for people to organize, you know, campaign activities, causes, to advocate for causes, to find people locally. When you join Caucus Room, you go through a few sort of verification steps and pledges that you generally agree with Caucus Room's stated, you know, value set, which is a conservative value set, that you, you know, are who you say you are. And, you know, we run some checks and make sure that we think we agree. And then, you know, once you're in, you're first geographically located within your county. And so you're going to see what people are up to locally. And you can also join and follow national and or statewide efforts as well. So so that is, you know, there are hundreds of causes and campaigns organizing on Caucus Room right now. You know, thousands of members in Colorado, tens of thousands of members in Colorado and thousands in many other states. So that's where we're at today. We've been up and running live for about 2 years now with, you know, in the current status, but we're still growing and improving. We did just get into the app stores a few months ago, and are now that we're in there, we're trying to get a real native mobile app that will be really cool and integrated with our with phones, so you can, you know, do more, broadcast more, stuff like that. Those are the kinds of things we're working on now. So,
have you had the pleasure? Have you had the pleasure, the true entertainment loving pleasure of being embraced on Nextdoor.com? And if people aren't on Nextdoor, Nextdoor is this pretty interesting app where they make sure that you're an actual person, and it's like, oh, kind of Facebook, but it's for your neighborhood. So, hey, my dog ran away. Is there anybody there who's seen him? Here's a picture of him. Hey, I need a babysitter. Does anybody have that? Hey, it's somebody's birthday. And so you get to know your neighbor. It's all about love and connection.
Yep. It is, until there's a political issue up there. And then whoever is the neighborhood moderator next door has essentially the discretion to shut it down. And, you know, that was something I noticed. I live up in the mountains, so most of the discussion is about, you know, if there's a bear out on trash day and things like that. But
find out just how intolerant your neighbors are once the issue of this goes. Hey, can I keep you around another segment? I know I'd let you go,
yeah,
but
you
this
bet.
This is just too
you
interesting.
Bet.
And why it's interesting is that I truly believe that the future of the nation depends on having freedom of speech. Keep with us. I'm John Caldera. 33 minutes after, John Caldera in for George. Are you tired of being hated online? There is actually an answer, and it's called Caucus Room, developed by Matt Needler, who put it together. Matt and I were chatting about Nextdoor. Nextdoor.com. Mind you, you might not be on any social media, and you might think, oh, that's terrific, my life is better. I'm telling you, you're missing a lot of resources. You're missing a lot of news and views and information. You're also missing a lot of hate, granted. But caucusroom.com is kind of like Nextdoor, but it's only for people like us, conservatives, libertarians, limited government folks. It's finally, let me steal their word, a safe place for people with our views, because we're not welcome on on Facebook. We're not welcome on the nightly news. We're not welcome on late night TV. We're not welcome on Saturday Night Live. We're not welcome in the classrooms. We're not welcome in entertainment. And it's getting pretty lonely. So when I found Caucus Room a few years back, it was like, oh my God, we don't have to be alone. Anyway, if you want to join Caucus Room, it is only $300 a month, and they have a decade plan for $10,000. Yeah. What does it cost for Caucus Room?
It is free.
It is free.
Yeah, it's free. Yep. And you know, John, I was going to say back to the next door analogy again. We are trying to build something that is purpose built to be useful to people. You know, find out who are our local candidates. Oh, you know, it's the kind of stuff that the Independence Institute does in analog form, and yet hopefully and I know that you have used it through the Independence Institute's group on Caucus Room, which is very easy to find. There's a search bar at the top. Just type in Independence Institute, and you can follow their group and their content on Caucus Room. But, you know, the Independence Institute helps train candidates for local office, right? And so if there are conservatives who aren't running for office in a particular area, the people on Caucus Room can start talking about that and see if they can recruit someone among their membership to run for that office, and they'll have the resources to do that, and they can find local supporters, local, you know, volunteers and activists to support their campaign. And that's what we're trying to build. We want it to be useful. I don't want it to be just some bubble that people spend all day in and think that, you know, after they leave Caucus Room, everybody thinks the way they do. We all know, you know, we're not naive. We know, as you just described, like the whole world is often feels like it's on the other side of the fence from us. But it is, we do want it to be a useful place. And so we're building more tools for that, but we're very pleased with some of the results we've already seen, people getting recruited for office and finding support.
Here's what got me excited about it, is because the work I do at Independence Institute is very local, bottom up, if you will, not top down. And I think one of the reasons we fail in the conservative movement is we're always looking to D.C. and we're always looking to these groups, and they bring out our orders or the party or whatever, when in fact politics is from your neighborhood, your city council, your school board up. And the left has those areas so well entrenched. Living in Boulder, you know, I'm a refugee in my own home. There used to be a friend of mine who passed away, Sheila Horton, wonderful woman, and she was kind of a, kept an eye on the city politics, and she knew what was going on, and I just didn't have the stomach for it. So every other year or so, when it was time to vote on city councilmen or issues, I'd give Sheila a call. Hey, Sheila, how am I supposed to vote on this? Because I trust her. I don't trust the mailers. I don't trust what I read in the paper, but I trust her. Now, she passed away, sadly, and I'm like, well, how do I find out, you know, from people I trust, how I should vote on these very, very important local issues? It's like, wait a second. There's this thing called Caucus Room. I'm a member of it, and I can talk to people in the Boulder area that think the way I do, mostly think the way I do, and I can ask them what empowerment that is for me to be able to do that. You've seen that in Jefferson County as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, in Jeffco, Boulder, those are some of our larger counties with hundreds and hundreds of members. Jeffco, I think, is near 1,600 at this point. And so you really do get a great conversation. You know, hey, who are we supporting for this local city council race, school board? You know, things like that. And if you have those discussions on other platforms, you're having it in an arena where the other side is watching and listening. And so that can inhibit some conversation. And it can also, you know, there's a lot of studies that show that, you know, people on the left feel much more comfortable just expressing their views and shaming other people on those platforms. And so you get a lot of people who are genuinely curious, want to listen and learn. And of course, they're not seeing much of that on these other platforms. And if they want to ask, and they're terrified to ask a question because they could get canceled. And so we wanted to create a space for that, you know, locally, as best as we can. It's not to say that there's not, you know, that our filters are perfect. I'm sure that, you know, the other side has found a way to listen in on occasion. But with that said, what we're trying to do is create an environment where they can't dominate the conversation. They can't take it over. We have, we have strict rules about decorum. We have a value statement. So if you're there to advocate for something that we don't agree with, we reserve the right to, to stop that. But that is only because that we're purpose built to help conservatives talk with each other and get organized and make a difference.
I remember when you started this, you were pretty happy when you hit like 1,000 users. That's a milestone. You know, we're in four digits. I mean, somebody's finding value in this tool to keep conservatives together. Where are you now?
Mm-hmm. We've got over 110,000 people around the country with accounts on Caucus Room. We're particularly big in Texas, California, Florida, and of course here in Colorado. We also hosted the Washington State Convention or Republican Convention live virtually on Caucus Room in 2020.
What do you mean you hosted the convention? I mean, I think of a convention, you know, the balloons drop from the ceiling, you're casting these god-awful ballots, it takes way too long. What do you mean you hosted this?
Yeah, no, two full days of that kind of activity. But of course, you know, that was during the lockdowns. And so in Washington State and in Colorado, we hosted that conversation online. And, you know, you could make a real motion in the chat function. You could, we even had ballots, although I think they used a different ballot tool, but we do have a ballot functionality that we're very proud of and that a number of conventions and assemblies have used. So, you know, we're really proud that a lot of social networks have live virtual meeting tools, but ours is designed to be a real
like a caucus.
Bona fide credentialed meeting. So it's very secure and, you know, it is designed to do real business.
So you do this all for free for me, and I use it all the time. But you make all your money by selling my private information. You now know everything about me.
We don't tell you that. I mean, we're still a startup. We haven't entirely figured out how to make money yet. We do think that there are some. We do think that there is some value in a group coming to Caucus Room and trying to find supporters and advertising on Caucus Room to have people join their Caucus Room group and get organized. And so we do think there. Path for us to help other groups get the word out. It's similar to kind of the left-leaning group at change.org, which, you know, if you sign a change.org petition, you're going to get recommended a few other petitions that are similar to it. And most of those petitioners are paying for that, you know, recommendation. So
what I love about
looking at
we're up against the clock here, but what I love about Caucus Room is that we whine and bitch so much about the cancel culture that we don't do something to change it. And what I love about Caucus Room is that this is a very serious long-term investment. You've dedicated years of your life. You've had to find investors to come up with an answer to this. There are solutions out there. We're not going to stop Facebook. We're not going to stop Hollywood. But we can have our own thing. We can find ways that we can talk amongst ourselves, get information and ideas to one another. And instead of just pointing and yelling and being Eeyore, you guys came along and you built this product that so many conservatives still know nothing about. I mean, you have 100,000 folks. That's incredible. But you should have 100 million folks. And I just hope people do it. I really do. I'm just it's
well, you just gave,
exhilarating you just gave for me to see somebody try
attack,
to do it.
But thank you very much. We're excited. We're ready to grow. We've we're really building out a lot of the performance aspects of the site and features that we're hearing about. So we're We're still learning and getting better, but it's been an awesome journey. It is really good to do something very positive feeling and in a way to address this need without, asking for regulations or, some kind of government intervention. I don't believe that would work anyway. And we're conservatives, so we believe in the free market. And so,
and for me, the bigger part is I'm tired of being alone, and Caucus Room allows you to feel like there are other people like you. So go to caucusroom.com. That's caucusroom.com. Matt Needler, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, John. All right.
By the way, all this talk about apps, if you get CompleteColorado.com, the best free news service around, we also have an app for that. Believe it or not, it's called Complete Colorado. Go figure. You can read all my columns and there and all the news around Colorado without a paywall. We figure there's a need for that. Hey, I'm John Caldera. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. So I'm trying to remember when it was, but the shooting at the King Supers in Boulder hit me really hard. Why? Because that's the store that I go to sometimes several times a week, depending on how quickly my son eats, which is faster all the time. And over the years, I got to know the people there, not all of them, but a lot of them, and that kind of casual conversations you have and the jokes you have. And they were all really nice to my son, Chance, who has Down syndrome. And, we'd go there and we're just loud and obnoxious and having fun. And he'd bring a lot of smiles to those folks. My daughter was supposed to be in the store, or she was going to be in the store at the time of the shooting, but thank God for her teenage brain, she got a doctor's appointment at the wrong time. She went to the doctor's appointment and she got it wrong. So she was supposed to come back later. And because of that, she didn't go to the store when this happened. Our babysitter who helps my son was actually going in to the store as people were running out of the store for their lives. I know one of the people who died. We weren't close friends, but we talked when we were in the store, one of the employees. It really rattled me. And as a guy who is a strong defender of Second Amendment rights, I needed to take some time and reassess my positions. I will tell you, when this happens this close to home, it affects you. And I had to really go back and go, am I on the right side of this issue? As you know, in Boulder, I am a criminal for owning what they consider to be an assault rifle and doing so publicly without registering it with the police here. I've invited them to come and just confiscate my weapon. They haven't yet. I'm in the middle of a lawsuit with the city over this issue. In any event, you can imagine how beloved I am in my hometown for holding that position. I find Boulder to be one of the more intolerant places in Colorado. They will tolerate all sorts of things, but not people like us who have a different political view. So I spent some time really going back and rethinking what I believed, went back and had to look at the statistics. I had to look at the facts. I had to look at all those things that I did, oh my God, some 30 whatever years ago when I switched from being anti-gun to pro-gun. It reaffirmed how I feel about the Second Amendment, but it was a good and sorrowful exercise to go through. That's something I recommend everyone do. I will also tell you that not having my store has been a real pain.
It is the store that I go to feed my kids. I like King Soopers. I knew where everything was. I liked the people. I could get in and out pretty quickly. They were spectacular with the lines getting people through checkout. I don't like going to other stores. I don't like going to the Safeway. I don't think they have the selection. I don't think their prices are as good. You may feel differently. That's fine. It has now been announced that this King Soopers, my King Soopers, will reopen January 20th, about 10 months after the mass shooting. I can't wait. People have asked me, well, are you going to go back to the store? Not understanding the question, I said, well, I can't go back to the store. It's closed. And then what they really meant was, when and if it reopens, will you go back? I think it's important that it's reopening. It would be much too easy to knock the store down, to turn it into a gym, to do any of those type of things. I think it's important that the same company open it back up. So there's another King Soopers in Boulder that on occasion I will go to, and I don't like it as much. It's smaller and it's older, and but you know, it's okay. And I went there the other day, a couple weeks back, and they were recruiting for employees, like everyone else in the world right now is trying to find employees, which is hard to find when the government pays you not to work. And I chatted with the woman who was doing it, and they said, no, we're trying to get people to work in the new store, in the King Soopers that we're going to reopen in South Boulder. Really? You're having trouble doing that? Is it because people don't want to go and work at a store where King Soopers employees and others were shot? And she said, honestly, I don't think so. I think it's just really hard to find any employees right now. Any employees. I found that fascinating, sad, and fascinating. Originally, they were going to open up this store in December, about now, maybe a couple weeks from now. But they couldn't, and it's my understanding from just this one conversation, so I haven't done the fact-checking. It's my understanding they couldn't do it because they couldn't find the employees. Just like every other service industry around the country, it's difficult to find people to work. Would you have a problem going back to your workplace if there was a high profile, hideous, heartbreaking crime there? If at your place of work, it got shot up, your coworkers died, and 10 months later they reopened, redesigned it, put up new paint and new carpet and all the rest, would you go back? A lot of the people who worked there have had to find other jobs, which I found really heartbreaking. A couple of these folks I know had babies. We chat about it. And so they needed their job. I'm not certain if they're going to come back. I'm really eager to find out if they will or not. Anyway, 303-696-1971. 696-1971. Would you go back? First, kudos to King Soopers, the company, for making the decision to keep this store going. Maybe they're just evil profiteers and they realize this is a lucrative position for them in this neighborhood. And therefore, if they don't open a store there, some other grocery might use that space. All right, fair enough. Either way, they're still opening. The King Soopers in Central Boulder often has security guards.
And I will tell you, very frankly, they inspire no confidence whatsoever. These are not police officers. These are not the George Brocklers of the world with a starched shirt and well-trained and service-oriented. These guys look like they just left a Grateful Dead concert and are looking for a hamburger. But they've got a gun on their hip. It was really a bizarre thing to see at King Soopers, which were these guys who didn't exude the professionalism that one expects from security. Was that a polite way to put it? Is this the new norm? It got me wondering. We in America don't understand that in most of the world, private security is a major industry because they don't have police services that aren't on the take or that actually work. Maybe a lot in Europe, but go throughout all of South America, go throughout all of Africa, go throughout all the Middle East, and it is private security that keeps people safe. And I was looking at these guys thinking, are we now entering that state where it's going to be private security who protects us? I'm curious to see what King Soopers does to make their customers, and more importantly, I think, their workers, to feel safe in this place. And I'm thrilled that they're doing it. I can't wait to get back in there. Good for them. Would you do the same? Something to think about. All right. Hey, check out the Independence Institute. Go to thinkfreedom.org. Check out Complete Colorado, completecolorado.com. I'm John Caldera. Keep it right here. You're on KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.